This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right. Yesterday we did this in the top story, Mike. So I know you have this clip of Coach Prime. We're reading off of ESPN and pretty much every outlet out there that said that Staub was going to be the starting quarterback for the Buffs. Coach Prime was asked about that yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Coach, are you concerned about what not having a solidified quarterback would do to the
team? A solidified quarterback? Who has one of those? I got time today. Who has one of those? What does that look like? What does a solidified quarterback look like? What does that look like? I want to know. We play quarterbacks every week. What does a solidified quarterback look like? Yeah, that's what I thought too. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that setup. Excuse me, sir.
A number one start, a clear ahead number one start.
I don't. That could mean something's up with your roster if it's clear. Then that clear guy goes down. What's up with the second one? I like where we are, man. I like what we have. I like what we're playing with. I like these dice I'm shaking. I do. I really do.
Oh, we got is the music dead? Music's gone. I don't know, Mike. I mean, if you don't want to reveal who your starting quarterback is because you want to try to get an upper hand on Houston or something, but he could have just easily said, like, you know, all guys are getting reps and we're working on it, but we're not ready to make that announcement yet. That's it. But again, it's like, who has a quarterback? Who has a solidified quarterback?
Every team.
Every team. And if they don't have one, they're trying to find one.
He's a talking meme.
Yeah, he's kind of a talking meme. Speaking of quarterbacks, Justin Michael, who we had on the show on Monday, just tweeted this out, if I can get it here. Jay Norvell says they're taking a look at everything, including competition at QB. Braden Faller-Nicolosi and Jackson Brissot are getting reps. Is that going to light the fire? I think it should. That's a good move by Jay Norvell. Now, they don't. Do they not have a solidified starting quarterback based on that information? Probably not. Man, what is it with the quarterback situation in the state of Colorado, Mike? Peter Castelli goes down, likely out for the season. Maybe he'll be back. So they're on their backup. Caden Anderson, I believe, is going to play. Cody Tucker will talk to us more about that coming up. And then You got a quarterback controversy going on in Boulder. And then Bo Nix is under a little pressure suddenly. Quarterbacks in the state or in the region are kind of up in the air right now. Did you hear the story about the AP voter? Yeah, Big Hubba got that. This is ridiculous, guys. This is absolutely ridiculous. An Associated Press top 25 voters week 3 ballot is under fire, according to SI.com, after ranking Florida while leaving South Florida unranked just one day after UCF beat the Gators in Gainesville. On Sunday, the AP poll moved the Bulls into the rankings at number 18 and dropped Florida out. So nobody else was putting Florida in there. Rightfully so. But this AP voter, Haley Sawyer, a voter listed by the AP, submitted a ballot that placed Florida at number 14. Not even top 25, top 15. The highest slot given to the Gators by any voter this week. Florida ultimately finished outside of the top 25 with only 70 poll votes. I mean, Michael, what are we doing here?
Well, I totally think that's reasonable. In my submission, Washington's number one.
Right, you're a fanboy.
UNC's number five.
Yeah, you're a fanboy. I don't know if you don't have the clip yet, do you? Oh, you do? So she was asked, like, why she made this decision. And here's what she had to say.
But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time.
Are they having a good time with it, or are they like, this is irresponsible? If you want to be a voter, you should. This isn't preseason. Preseason is one thing. If you don't know what the hell you're talking about in preseason voting, rankings, all that stuff, okay.
Fine, everything's going to work itself out eventually.
At that point, it will. But then again, if you're ranked to start the season and you lose, then that means a lot for the team that beat you, so it does mean a lot. But during the season? Big Hub says, I'm typing this so I won't forget. I hate how the AP poll probably won't correct this and allow more people like that girl Haley to cast a vote. That's ridiculous. Well, then her response, she didn't give us a reason.
Well,
Florida lost 18-16 to South Florida.
You can't know her process, Brady.
But she acted like she was going to give us her process.
And then she's like, have a process.
I get up early in the morning, and that's about it. Like, I get up early, and I vote.
Well, I mean, first of all, Florida has really nice colors.
Where was Florida? Where were they in the top 25? They were pretty, because they beat Long Island 55-0. And I'm just curious on this. They beat the Long Island University Sharks. Florida was 15. But then they lose to UCF, and, you know, should they have dropped out of the top 25? She actually moved them up. They were 15 to start the season, probably weren't. I don't know where they were. Where were they when they took on South Florida? Let me see. I can find that right here. Florida was 13. So losing to South Florida 18-16 dropped Florida out of the top 25. So she moved them back one spot. After losing to South Florida, an unranked team at that time.
I don't know if I'd move them out of the top 25,
yeah,
but I'd drop them.
Honestly, the more I'm going over this, I'm just saying, like, is it the end of the world? She moved him back one spot. Would we be bitching if she moved him to 20?
No.
So is this that big of a deal? I'm going through this in my brain as we talk about it. I watched the video last night, and I forgot where Florida was, like, ranked. But they're at 13, and she's got them at 14 now. Yeah, you can. But UCF is ranked now. So, I don't know. The response is a little bit worse, don't you think, than the actual vote?
If they had lost to, like, Montana or something, that would drop you out of the top 25. But this isn't as big of a loss.
No.
I'd say drop to 20.
South Florida beat Boise State. All they've done is beat ranked teams so far.
Yeah.
So South Florida is now number 18, and they dropped Florida out of the top 25. That's interesting to me because on one hand, you're giving South Florida so much credit for beating Florida that it moves them into the top 25, into the top 20, but you're also roasting her for just moving Florida back one spot. I don't know. Is this initially, it doesn't seem as bad as they're going at her big time.
Okay.
Every mover and shaker in the sports world.
I have a conspiracy theory.
Go on.
Which is just a theory. Maybe the AP top 25 was not, you know, just moving them way too far down. And she's like, well, screw this. Like, I'm going to not move them down too much because moving them out of the top 25 is ridiculous. Maybe that was her process. She's looking at everybody else's poll and going, wait, what? They're overreacting. I'm going to underreact to counterbalance that. Maybe she was doing that. I don't know. That's kind of a conspiracy theory I'm just thinking about.
I don't know. I don't know that she's as wrong, man. I mean, she's wrong to just move Florida back one spot.
At least she moved them back.
But everybody's agreeing that South Florida's legit. They put them at 18. So losing to number 18 when you're a 14 or when you're a 13 by 2 points, not sure that justifies throwing you out of the top 25.
The only way I personally would throw them out of the top 25 is if they were badly injured in that game. If they lost their starting quarterback, I'm punting them out of the top 25 because they are no longer the number 13 Florida that they were. They are the number 30 Florida.
Did she left them ranked? Did she move them up? Because what I saw, they were 13. And she's got them at 14 now.
Yeah, she dropped them by one, which is not enough of a drop.
Not enough of a drop, but I'm not sure I'm not sure the outcry is warranted. Danny Cannell, and I like Danny Cannell, he said, I don't want to put her on blast too much because I know college football fans can be ruthless, but this is a rough look for AP voter Haley Sawyer. Don't single her out though, because she's not the only one with an embarrassingly bad ballot. I don't know, and I haven't seen her entire ballot.
Well, the AP, I've lost a lot of respect for them recently. I think I've had issues with some of their reporters. I don't know. These polls really bother me. Like I almost want to go back to the BCS, which everybody but the BCS computer hated.
Yeah, I don't know. She didn't. Yeah, her response was crap. Like, if you're going to get on and do it, don't do it then. Don't talk to somebody about your vote if you're going to do it, right? If you're going to get on and talk about it, don't sound like, well, you know, I got up early in the morning and, you know,
made some eggs.
It'll even itself out. Like, that's not the way to do it.
Give us a hint of what your process is. You know, I analyzed this and this, and I dropped them down
like,
just
say,
this
hey,
because I thought this.
We all believe that South Florida's good, and we all believe that they're ranked. I don't know if she's got them ranked. I don't think she had them ranked. But she could have said the other voters agreed that that loss isn't that bad for Florida if they move down a spot. I don't know, man.
I don't think it's as – I think it's more – I don't want to say it's a nothing burger. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. But it's still kind of a big deal. You are supposed to be a legit sports reporter, and you are not doing your job correctly. Now, dropping them down a spot isn't as bad as moving them up. But it's also like I would criticize someone for moving them out of the top 25.
Because
you shouldn't move them out of the top 25.
They were moved out of the top 25.
I don't agree with that. Unless you have a bunch of teams who really, really suddenly got good and moved into the top. Like, I don't get it.
South Florida, all they've done is beat ranked teams.
Yeah, they deserve to be in the top
25. They're 2-0, and they beat Boise State, and they beat Florida.
Like, that's worse than moving Florida down. Like, not putting them in the top 25
right.
is worse than just moving Florida down one spot.
Right, I agree. I do. I think her response is what's really got everybody fired up.
Yeah, that's a bad response. She's got to learn better.
20 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker joining me next. It's his birthday today, Mike, so act accordingly. We need some birthday music.
Be rude?
Yeah, give me some rock birthday music. No, don't be rude. Don't be yourself. 20 minutes after the whole after the hour, the whole show continues, I think, coming up next.
College football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well done, Mike. We got a birthday guy, birthday dude, birthday boy on the First Advantage Hotline. Cody Tucker, our Wyoming Cowboys insider, 7220sports.com. Cody, I tried to rock up the birthday song as much as we possibly can. It's hard to do, but, you know, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I was talking to my good friend earlier, and I said, I never thought I would spend my birthday writing a story about Kyle Whittingham and his days at BYU and now being the head coach of Utah. And he said, yeah, that's a prank like candles that won't blow out. And I said, yeah, I was thinking more like getting a mail stripper.
That's tough, man. That's a tough write-up for you. Because I know you kind of asked, what is this rivalry? Like, is this a rivalry?
Well, for a 40 brand new 42-year-old like me, it sure as hell is. I have very fond memories of the Utes and some very not so fond memories as well. But yeah, absolutely. I kind of, as a former, you know, growing up crazy Wyoming fan, I had my top four, and then everybody else, and it was absolutely CSU and BYU being interchangeable, and then you throw in the cadets down in Colorado Springs, and definitely the Utah Utes. So. I'm excited about this one, man, and I give Utah a lot of credit. They were this game was supposed to take place during COVID in 2020, and they kept to their word, and they're still coming to Laramie. So
yeah.
They definitely didn't have to do that. BYU certainly could have bought that game out last year, so glad to see those former rivals are still going to come to Laramie and do their thing.
Yeah, this Saturday coming up at 6 o'clock, Wyoming 2-0. Cody looked much better last week. I mean, no FCS letdown there with Northern Iowa. They took care of business 31-7. But the first question is, what's the quarterback situation like? How's Caden Anderson doing?
Yeah, you know what? That was scary. I was getting ready to write this glowing column about how Wyoming's offense just got the ball to the playmakers all day long, and they were doing the things that they tell you they're going to do as far as getting it in those guys' hands. And then Caden just takes a corner blitz that he doesn't see coming and gets absolutely rocked. And he stayed on the ground for a long time, and crowd was hushed. And then, you know, he was taken to the local hospital for testing. You're thinking, oh, boy, this ain't going to be good. And Landon Sims came in and did a great job in what you would say garbage time, I guess. But I saw Caden walking through the parking lot at War Memorial on Monday, and I was like, man, it's good to see you, you know, breathing, standing, walking. And he said, yeah, he got me pretty good. Yeah, he sure did. He got lit up, and he actually hit his own offensive tackle on the sack. And that might have been a good thing because, man, if that tackle's not there for him to bounce off, that had concussion written all over it. So good to go. Got some bruising and discomfort in his upper chest area, rib area, which is, you know, he's lucky. Let's put it this way, Brady. If he could have spoke on Monday, he was in rehab, but if he could have spoke on Monday, he would have been the only one thrilled to talk to you about the number 20 Utah Utes who are coming into town on Saturday night.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Big opportunity for the Cowboys. Let's talk about the defense, Cody. 7 points so far. That's all they've given up. Yeah. This defense looks really good. And that's interesting because to start the season, when you were on with us, you're kind of like, hey, that, strangely enough, that's kind of the unknown right now is this defense. And hey, they're 2 weeks in. We're starting to get to know these guys pretty well.
Yeah, no question, man. They're three penalties away from pitching back-to-back shutouts to start this season. And it's a whole new cast, but, you know, you got to think back to last year, too. They did a really nice job against Ashton Genty, aside from one big run and in that Boise State offense. And then they went into Pullman, Washington, and held John Mateer to 14 points. And Wayshon Parker, who's now the running back at Utah. So, you know, they've really been on fire these last four games dating back to last year. And with this whole new cast, I mean, I voted them, I think, seventh or eighth in the Mountain West poll. And I told Jay Sauvel, I haven't seen this defense. And he said, I don't blame you. We don't know either. Nine new starters, all new backups. Man, you know, and I've been asking them, like, are you shocked? Are you surprised? And they said, no, we communicate. We're on the same page. The one thing I think nobody's talking about, these guys are super quiet. Like, there's no boisterous dude. There's not that guy on the defense who's loud and obnoxious and any of that and over the top. They're really quiet. So it's really a deal where if these guys speak, you listen, because they don't speak very often. They're just, you know, Savell wanted to go out and get a bunch of dudes with chips on their shoulders who played at small schools who were overlooked. And, man, so far they're playing like it. You know, the only question is, and it's coming Saturday, you know it, they haven't faced a lot of adversity yet. We got to see how they respond to adversity. It just has not come knocking yet. The two times you'd say it maybe did is after Caden got sacked, he fumbled the ball, and Northern Iowa was at the 15-yard line with first down to go, and Evan Heller gets a pick. Ben Finley and Akron, they're down inside the 5-yard line, and Ben Finley throws a pick to Braden Johnson. So they've stood up in those moments, but also, you know, you kind of felt like Wyoming was in control of both of those games.
Yeah, well, and you know, coming up this weekend, obviously Utah, but what's a, you know, a little interesting side story, maybe not a side story, but they kind of know this quarterback. They're a little bit familiar with his work.
Very familiar. And what's lost in the whole thing when you talk about what a nightmare Devin Dampier is Wyoming's 2-0 against him.
So yeah, right.
Because this guy, man, he ran for 207 yards on 12 carries last year and made it look awfully easy. And he ultimately made the mistake and threw the pick six to Rook Brown for the Cowboys to ultimately make the comeback in that game. And, of course, that was Caden Anderson's first ever start. So he went toe-to-toe with Dampier all night long. But, man, that guy is dynamic. He's really good. He almost led the Lobos back from a 22-9 deficit in 2023 in War Memorial Stadium. And I remember thinking, why in the hell is that guy not starting? Like, he's a freak. They can't bring him down. And he's really, really a good athlete. And I remember interviewing Jay Sawbell, you know, during Mountain West Media Days. And I said, so Dan Pierce at Utah. And he's like, I thought we got rid of that dude. Enough is enough with this guy. So, yeah, they're fully aware, and they have all the respect in the world for number four. He is a really, really good player, and now he's got a ton of weapons around him.
This spread opened up at 22.5 in favor of Utah. Now it's at 23.5. Cody, what do you make of that?
Sure. I mean, Utah's really good, man. Savell said yesterday, I don't see any weaknesses in that team, and in breaking them down the last few days, I certainly don't either. They're really good, and I don't even feel like they've scratched the surface. They haven't been hitting big chunk plays. They haven't been throwing the ball downfield a whole lot. They're kind of doing what Wyoming's doing, you know, short passes and letting your athletes do the work. And, you know, let's be real, too. Yeah, they played UCLA. They're good in name only. They are a really, really bad football team. Really bad. And I watched that game from start to finish, and it looked like varsity versus JV. And then, of course, Cal Poly comes into Rice Eccles last week, and they didn't have a shot in hell from the word go. But this Utah team is super talented across the board. And, you know, Wyoming's pissed off about going 3-9 last year, and they have said it over and over again. They wear the shirts that say it's personal. Think about what Utah's feeling after going 5-7 and only winning two conference games when Kyle Whittingham's been there 21 years and he's only not gone to a bowl game twice. You think it's personal for those guys? They're motivated, they're pissed off, and they're a really good team.
Yeah, and that spread is interesting because, you know, that's where, it, like, I think we talked about this before. We're not going to know a lot about these teams until, like, week four, maybe week five. But I thought last week was so big because the week before Akron, okay, you win 10-0, you got the win, fine. But then you noted, like, the FCS history recently with Wyoming and how they've had trouble with some of these teams. And Northern Iowa, not a bad football team, but to be able to absolutely roll in that game, I thought, because, you know, around this area, Cody, we saw CU play around with Delaware for a little bit, and that became, they ultimately covered, but that was weird. We all know what happened at Canvas Stadium on Saturday with the Rams and the Bears. So it felt like this could be that letdown week. It was setting up perfectly, but Wyoming absolutely delivered.
Yeah, you mean when UNC won?
Yes, 100% they won.
I'm with you. No, you're right. And Wyoming kind of, you know, it kind of looked Akron-ish early on. And then, you know, they get on the board again. It's 14-7. And then Jaden DaCosta blocks a punt right before the half. And they get three more points on the board at the buzzer. And and then take over in the second half and kind of do their thing. So it kind of looked like they were farting around a little bit early on again, but then they turned it on. And it was the perfect scenario in an FCS game, aside from Caden Anderson going down. 28 guys played on defense, and that's exactly what you want in these games. You want to get some young guys in and get them some reps. And, I mean, isn't that what we always say going into those games? Is, oh, it'd be great to get some youngsters in and get some experience. And, you know, you don't want to see Caden Anderson go down, but Landon Sims was 3 of 3, and he had 12 yards rushing. He had a really nice first down run on a third and long, and he rolled out of the pocket and threw against his body and threw a dart on one of his completions. So you had guys who likely weren't going to see the field if this was a close one. And what sucks about Caden Anderson getting hurt, too, is he was probably a series away from being on the bench anyway because it was, you know, the score was getting so lopsided.
Well,
so,
yeah,
it was good. It was good.
Well, and it was also nice, too, to see John Michael Gillenborg have that game. 5 receptions, 65 yards, but get in the end zone. Also, while seeing Chris Durr Jr. put up some nice numbers, too. So that combo right there, Cody, is that's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know who you cover. Akron really focused on J. Mike and Chris Durr 8. And they focused, obviously, this week. They just kind of maybe had a little more focus on Chris Durr, but man, Caden Anderson dropped a beautiful 21-yard touchdown past him in the back of the end zone. So those guys are really clicking right now. And the run game looks really good.
Oh, my gosh,
I think if Craig Bowles the coach of that Wyoming team on Saturday, they probably run for 350 yards. He wouldn't have thrown the ball one time in the second half. And they would have. They would have ran for 350, and they would have done it.
Well, I mean, guys all over the board. I mean, Kelman, Harris, yeah. Sam Scott, not the 30 carries, but 8 carries for 58 yards, almost 200 yards, but trying to mix in that pass. And this game, to me, is a lot of what Jay Sauvell talked about from the get-go was, we know we can run. We could do it like crazy. We could have ran for 300, but we want to sharpen that pass game so it's ready by the time we're deep in Mount West play.
No question. And I think that was something that you could point to in the Craig Bowl era that was an issue. They just didn't do that. And they weren't taking care of business against teams they should have, which would have allowed for things like this. And, you know, you're not rubbing it in or, you know, anything like that. Northern Iowa's not going to tell you Wyoming rubbed that game in
no.
their face by any stretch. It was a good game. And Northern Iowa played tough, man. They brought the lumber, too. They had some huge hits in that game. So, it was good. You know, the Cowboy Tough moniker they like to talk about over in Laramie, it was in serious question last year. And so far, they've really moved mountains here. But I tell you what, speaking of moving mountains, there's two All-American offensive tackles on this Utah line. They are physical. There's a reason they dominated in the Pac-12 when they were in the Pac-12. They were by far the most physical program. And they're going to be they're the most physical program in the Pac-12 or in the Big 12 now. So, that Kyle Whittingham, love him, hate him, he's been cooking for a long time, and his secret to success is pretty simple. They are a really, really tough physical team, and they're not going to back down from anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I know you hate Utah, and I get it, but I can't help but respect Whittingham, and I can't,
no doubt.
Like, I like that style of football. It's just, I know a lot of people like airing it out and all this, but I like that tough style that Wyoming plays with, too, so
yeah.
That's always kind of my favorite brand of football.
No question. Yeah, all the respect in the world for that team. They're really good. They're obviously well-coached. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about the other day. Like, it's amazing Kyle Whittingham hasn't been plucked
right.
in 21 years. I mean, why they would shy away from that guy is beyond me. I figured he would have been elsewhere. So, good for him. Good for Utah. That's a rare commodity these days.
Do the Cowboys cover and, you know, maybe even do something a little crazier than that?
Well, I tell you, man, you know, history would tell us that Texas Tech came in and had a 17-0 lead and blew it, and Wyoming wins that game. Missouri comes in, gets a 14-0 lead right off the bat. They blow it. Wyoming wins that game. You know, I would also tell you BYU was here last year, and they took care of business, and they were the bigger, stronger team, and they were more physical, and they took care of business against the 3-9 Wyoming team. So, hard to say. I think this Utah team's really good. Jay Sauvell said he would not be the least bit surprised to see them in the Big 12 championship game and the college football playoff, and I agree with him. I think they're really motivated and they're really tough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough sled, man. You need the Cowboys need this team to make some mistakes, and that's something they just don't do, and they haven't done so far. I mean, they're 11 of 11 in the red zone with 11 touchdowns. I mean, they have 15 touchdowns already through two games, including one defensive touchdown, which extends their NCAA record to 22 straight years with a pick six. I mean, they're freaks, man. So it's going to – you think the Cowboys are going to want to muddy this thing up, draw it out, really try and get the run game going and force some turnovers. And if they do that, they will 100% cover. And the crowd and the atmosphere, you got to account for that too. It's going to be really good. It's going to be sold out. Wyoming fans, the majority can't stand Utah, so – they're going to be rocking and rolling, but I could see it maybe being a lot like the BYU game last year, which was a 20-point win for the Cougars, unfortunately. But I could see it being like that, and I could also see maybe the Cowboys getting them into the fourth quarter and, as Andrew Peasley would say, take them to the deep end.
Yeah, we'll find out, man. It was a crazy weekend last weekend, so why not? Sometimes it carries over into week three. Cody, appreciate you as always, my friend. Love your stuff.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you, bud.
Happy birthday, my man.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. All right, 40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We've got the fellas at Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado also doing, they switch it up a little bit when we get into those colder months. We got NoCo Christmas Light Pros giveaway. You can win a free Christmas light decoration. Now through the end of October is your chance to win a free house decorating from NoCo Christmas Light Pros. Nominate yourself or someone you think deserves it. And then we're going to announce the winner on November 3rd. It's very easy. So go to 1310kfk.com. Look at the top of the – if you're on your computer, look at the top of the page, and you'll see in the top tabs there, NoCo Christmas Light Pros Giveaway. Click that. All you got to do is write your name, your last name, an email address so we can reach out to you and tell us why you should win or somebody else should win. And it was a really cool story who they helped out last year, so – It's an awesome thing. So go to 1310kfk.com and find that tab, NoCo Christmas Light Pros Giveaway. You getting enough food back there, Mike? You're eating it like it stole something from you. So that was a big bite. That was a massive bite. Distracted me.
Should I take another one?
I look back and it's like he's been starving. And he just was... Rawr, 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 rawr.
I am kind of starving.
Yeah, you went to town on that thing. What do you got there, buddy?
It's a quesadilla.
Must be
the
pretty good.
The traditional kind.
Yeah. How many of those do you eat a day?
I don't eat quesadillas every day.
I feel like you eat them every day. I feel like I see you with a quesadilla every time I look at you. It's in your hand. Oh, anyway. And enjoy.
It sounds like a love song.
Eat
every
up.
Every time I look at you in your hand.
No, I was not writing a love song to you. 47 minutes after the hour, coming up in the next hour. Sean Keeler going to talk to us about the Broncos' new stadium, what that is going to look like, his thoughts. Also, I know he covers both CU and CSU, so we'll get some of his thoughts on Jay Norvell. Now, it's interesting because one of Sean's articles was, Jay needs to hold BFN accountable. I think kind of quietly, maybe not so quietly, putting up a semi-quarterback competition in the middle of your bye week is not, I think that's probably a good idea. I mean, it's not good that it does seem like maybe Jay's starting to see what we're seeing. It's not good for the team, but it is good for Jay Norvell. And as Kevin said in my burning questions that I send him every Monday, you know, everything's off on the table when you're fighting for your job. And that loyalty can only go so far. Jay's got to win games, and he's got to try to find the best quarterback to give him that shot. Is it Burseau? I don't know. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll get into that. I'll give you my thoughts on whether or not there should be a quarterback change for Colorado State. 1248. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
That's
pretty
good.
Apache?
I didn't say anything. I was just watching you dance. I like watching you move back there. Renaissance Insurance Group is a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for clients. That's my guy, Ryan. That's the one you want to talk to. Call him at 970-674-8825. They are the go-to in this area for farming operations. So we got I know we got a lot of ag people, or as another radio station called it, AG people, are really in the, you know, into the farming world, and you got to get that stuff insured. Ryan's the one to do it. Call him, 970-674-8825. What?
AG.
Some competing station, Tanner said last week when they were promoting Colorado State's Ag Day, said it's AG Day at Colorado State this weekend. They didn't know that it stood for ag, apparently. I don't know. I did not hear it.
Where exactly is that person from?
Probably not here. Probably not somewhere where ag is used regularly.
I'm guessing like Chicago, where they don't know where their food comes from.
Maybe. Maybe so. 12:55 the time. We got buy or sell. We got Sean Keeler. A little Keeling Me Softly coming up at 1:20. Yeah, no, it works. You love that. Broncos Stadium talk. Bo Nix talk. It's the whole show. You're not going to get this kind of stuff anywhere else. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.